Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to Mothers and Daughters Are at the Round Table here on Blog Talk Radio. Just want to say welcome. It is a beautiful day. I mean, just touch yourself and feel yourself and just squeeze on and say, I'm alive. You feel it? You are alive. God gave you another day. And that's why we said we should rejoice and be glad in it. It's more than just getting up and looking out and saying, oh, well, what am I going to do today? Oh, another day. No. It's another opportunity to serve God. Well, we're here for his purpose. I mean, he didn't create us to just stumble around. He created us for a purpose. And it's a part of a plan. And it's a part of the connection to the body of Christ. We all have a place in the body of Christ. And you decide if you're going to participate. Are you going to act out the role that you were sent here to do? Or are you just going to sit and do nothing and allow someone else to have to pull more of the weight than you? You make a decision. Everything's about making a decision. I tell my clients all the time, most of you know I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and when I'm dealing with my clients, and I specialize in mother-daughter relationship, but that doesn't mean that's the only segment of individuals that I deal with. I deal with couples. I deal with individuals. I deal with groups. It doesn't matter. My role is to help you to understand and process the information that is filtering through your mind, which is your soul. You know, you have to get your soul connected to your spirit, and the body will follow whatever decision that you make. But if you decide that you want to operate your soul, which is your mind, yourself, and disconnect it from the spirit, then God is going to give you that choice. He said, you know, hey, you choose. I'm not going to choose for you, but I'll be here because the spirit is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The spirit is never going to change, and nothing you can do to hinder the spirit of God. So the spirit is the same. Everything is waiting on you to deal with your soul. And now, most of us, you know, we deal with this until we got saved. We were really fighting the issue of the soul and the body because the body wants to control. The body wants to do whatever it wants to do. If it just want to sit and do nothing, that's what it's going to do. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do that. And the soul has to fight with the body. But if the soul stops and think for a moment, that's you are the operating power. You decide. And whatever you decide, the body does what you decide to do. So you have to make a decision. I'm going to do this. And then the body don't have a choice. It has to get up and move. Trust me. Don't let the body control your soul. And when you connect your soul and enter a contract with your spirit, the body don't have a choice. See, now you have the body and the soul working together, and the spirit just sitting on the side. You know, God said, I'll wait on you. Some people never connected all together. But when you decide, Lord, I'm going to connect my soul with your spirit, don't worry about the body. The body doesn't have a choice. Body doesn't think, doesn't have a mind of its own. The body is an instrument that follows. And if you don't, if you're not careful, the enemy will try to control the body because you're hearing intro conversations. You're hearing intro conversations. You're thinking the body's talking to you. No, that's a part of the enemy. He wants you to think that the body wants to do these things. He wants you to think that the body has some kind of control. That's his technique. That's an illusion. So when we're talking about the intro conversation, and most of you that have been on here with me know that that is what I specialize in, you'll understand that. And that's some of the things we want to talk about today. So don't go anywhere. Pick up your phone. Text your friend. Tell them to get on. Do somebody else a favor. You on here, you're listening because you're getting something. Call your friends. You need to listen to this because if you're getting something, you know, spread the gospel. I'm not doing this just for me. I'm here to help God get the message out. And if it's giving you some type of revelation or stimulation, then spread it to someone else. It's not going to cost you anything. Doesn't cost me anything to do it. I do it because this is my mission. This is why I'm called. So I don't want to get too far in. I don't know. God just told me to say that. Usually we go into the prayer first, but God told me to say that. I'm not even on the switchboard. So I don't know who's there, but I can tell you this. He had me to say that. So if it touched your soul and spirit, write it down. I tell people write things down because you can't remember after an hour what the Lord has said to you sometimes. So write it down, keep those little nudges, and then go back over and talk to God about it. What did you mean when this happened? What, she said this, and you said this to me, God, you know, and get some more detail about it. Let me go to the switchboard here. I know Frida usually pray with us in the morning. She's not here today. Let me see if I can get Cynthia on. I don't know if Cynthia, but good morning.
Good morning. I'm good. How are you this morning?
I am good. I am up and ready to go. A good day.
Let's make it happen. You know what I say, yes. Let's make it happen.
Yes. Would you like to do the prayer for us this morning?
Absolutely. Never turn down a chance to pray. Dear Father God, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I come before you thanking you, God, for choosing Dr. Fletcher and myself and Frida for such an awesome task as this. We thank you, Father God, and we ask that you continue to protect Dr. Fletcher and Frida in her absence. Lord, she's about your business. And Father God, we thank you, God, that every day that you allow us is we recognize and we dare not take it for granted that you have given us another day of mercies to get it right. And it's not really about getting it right or wrong, but walking in what we know to be right according to your word. And your word has taught us, and before we were even born, we had a conscience, and it is our conscience that tell us right from wrong. And so, Father God, thank you for another day to get it right and according to the conscience. Father God, we thank you for what we're about to hear. We ask that you allow us open ears and an open heart to hear, not just to hear, but also to listen so we can learn. But, Father God, you said study for yourself to show yourself approved. And so, Father God, we know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So today our audience will be enlightened based on what you have given Dr. Fletcher and myself to share. And whoever else desires to share, we pray, Father God, that they would be willing to share what you put in their hearts for someone else. Father God, we know that our story is your glory. And so, Father God, I pray that someone will be listening and have the heart and the mind and the boldness to get on and share if you press upon their hearts. So, Father God, we come this day thanking you, God, for what we're about to hear. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cynthia. I'll get back with you in a little bit.
You're welcome. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Now, something was said there. You know, often sometimes I get so carried away. Once I get started, you know, I close my eyes and the Holy Spirit just takes over. So, you know, so I don't have a lot of control into that. That's why I try to get out any announcements or anything in the beginning. But the one thing that I do want to say, click one on your phone if you want to participate. Don't just sit back and let God speak to you and you keep that. That, you know, I can only speak to a certain amount of people. Jeffy can only speak to a certain amount. Frida can only speak to a certain amount. And then all of you on the audience, and I know it's not the easiest thing, and I don't try to push audience participation. I would rather you sit and hear the word of God because I know you're getting it. You just not, you don't come on Saturday after Saturday, right, getting it. But if something touches your spirit and it feels strong, click one and share that thought because someone out there can hear your voice. We all have our sheep that we are to feed. And that's why I always tell people there's no jealousy in us. We don't even go that way. This is not a Bessie show. I am doing an assignment. And if we're working for the same Father, then everybody is welcome and as much to participate in this program as I am. This is not just for me. Come on, let's do it together. If you got something, I know the Lord is speaking. He's speaking to each of us, but we have to learn that we have to witness. And the only reason we're here is to witness and to do what? Preach the gospel. And to preach the gospel is to share the good news and bring people into the kingdom. That's all that we are designed to do. So to witness, we have to share the goodness that God has done for us. We can't share. I can't share your story, and you can't share mine. But you can share your story and show how good God is in your life. Somebody else is going to be out there saying, you know what? I have a similar story just like that. So if God is good to her or him, then God is good to me. We do have a group of men that listen in on the radio program, and we do have them that says, you know, we sit back, Dr. Bessie, and we listen because we want to know how to treat our wives, our sisters, our daughters, you know, our friends. So men do have friends, and when we're having conversation, we know, we listen, and that's good because everyone, every human being that come here is going to come through a woman. Each of us have the same common denominator. We have a mother. So that puts us all in the same arena. So, you know, got something to say? This is open. God just told me to specialize looking at that mother because once we get the mother to renew her mind, then she's going to, the daughter's going to see that the mother have changed, and then she's going to be willing to teach her daughter because she's going to know how important it is for her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren to know the truth. And that's our responsibility, is to make sure that mothers and daughters know the truth and that they know that God is dependent on them to raise up a new generation. Again, my name is Dr. Bessie. I'm here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. I thank you for listening. That's the one thing I do not want to do. I don't want to take advantage of anyone that's coming in to the program. I want you to know we appreciate you. We could not do it without you. I have to get on if no one's on, because it's my charge to keep. And like I told God, I'm committed. I made a decision. I will get on every Saturday morning, and that's what I do. I appreciate everybody coming on, but we all have our niche and our assignments, and God send you people to work those assignments with you. Like I help other people do their assignments. So, you know, we can't just sit back and say, you know, it's all about me. No, we're all here to help each other. So call your friends and text them and tell them to call 347-539-5078, 347-539-5078, and just sit back and relax and enjoy what the Lord has to say. Now, a stimulating topic this morning is mothers and daughters resetting their mind. Mothers and daughters resetting their mind. You know, it's so interesting. As I laid in the bed this morning, I just love it. I love it. I talk about it all the time. People may say, she says this all the time. Well, it is. It's my story. Yeah, I tell you, when I get up on Saturday morning, I'm sharing my story. I can't share your story. And one day I was talking to God, and I said, well, you know, what is my purpose? I knew the work purpose, but I mean the general overall purpose of God. And I was going through that, and I was reading in this book, and all of a sudden I opened the book and it says, your purpose, God's will and purpose for your life. I think that's the way it was. And I thought, okay. And I started reading. And it just kind of highlighted some things you already know. But you know how it's hard to explain, because when you get revelations, it's just for you. You can't explain it to anybody else. And so I started laughing. Me and God was having this conversation. And I'm thinking, okay. See, because I know I was set up from a child to be a psychologist, to be a Christian clinical psychologist, to be a minister. I knew that from a child at age 5. Did I try to go directly into that? No, I tried to do a little bit of Bessie, a lot of Bessie, a little bit of God, but I knew in my heart and soul, and when I went too far left, I was quickened in my spirit. Nope. See, and I wasn't like a lot of my friends. I wasn't when I was coming up. Some things they would do, and they know it, so I'm not telling anything. I'm not trying to be no goody-two-shoe. You know, I had a mother that I knew I was better not do, but it was something in my spirit when I got old enough to do, I still wouldn't do certain things because something in my spirit would just, my spirit would just crunch. No, and I knew, and then, well, we going to go do so-and-so-and-so. Come on, girl. I'm like, nah, y'all go ahead. I don't think so. You know, because I knew. But that's not what the show is about today. But what I wanted to say to you is that it's about renewing your mind. Our stimulating topic this morning is resetting your mind. You know, people talk about renewing the mind, and I've been talking about that, and that's what I do. I teach people how to manage the intra-conversation, the conversations that are in your head. That's the focus of my ministry, the focus of my witnessing. That's the focus. Because I always have had an interesting conflict with my intra-conversation. Yeah, I have a girlfriend. She's no longer with us today, but she said to me one time, you have about 2 or 3 PhDs in the intra-conversation. You're probably right. Meaning, back in the day, thank God for Jesus that, you know, revelation and the clarity and the resetting of my mind constantly. It's not something you just do and go on. No, because every day you're getting new data. So you got to delete, and add, delete, add, add. You know, you're constantly adjusting. And my thing was back in the day, if someone said something or done something to me, my intro conversations would consume my day. My intro conversations would say to me, no, what you should have said was this. Why did you let her get by with that? Why didn't you say this when that happened? You should have knocked them out. That's what you should have done. You should have gave them a good cursing out. So all day long, I got these intro conversations going, and I would actually see the situation from the beginning to the end. But it really wasn't the true situation. It was the enemy trying to load my intro conversation. And if you're not careful, it will drive you insane. And a lot of people are in asylums, mental hospitals, I should say, today, because the overloading of the intro conversation. They didn't know how to manage it, got too much going on. Some people say, you know, throw up the hand and say, forget it, I'm out of here. They walk away from their families. Some people are on the street. The most smartest individuals you want to see are on the street walking around, very smart. They cannot organize the conversation. And I feel that a lot with our female and male veterans that go off to war. They see so many things, and they have all of these conversations going in their head. They do not know how to organize those conversations, how to delete the pictures in their mind, how to reset their mind. That's all it is. It's nothing wrong with them. They have not been taught how to reset their mind. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You could start all over again. just simply by resetting your mind. And I know you might be saying, well, Dr. Bessie, you know, I hear you, but, you know, how do I do that? It sounds easy from what you're saying, but a lot of people talk about it, but nobody tells me how to reset my mind. Well, we won't talk about it today. You should understand it when we finish the show today. You should understand how to reset your mind, and you can go on and start doing it. Because one thing that I do with my clients is that I'm practical. You want a session, all you got to do is just email me, drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, at gmail.com. You can have your own private session. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, at gmail.com. I'm not trying to sell you anything. But some people say, you know, I want to talk to you, but I don't want to talk to you on the radio. That's fine. You email me, I send you my phone number, and then we can go from there. I just don't want to put it all out there today. So last week we talked about, our stimulating topic was mothers and daughters making decisions. You know, it seems like, you know, you should say, well, reset your mind and then make a decision. No, we're leading up. This is not me. This is the Holy Spirit. It's stepping you, stair-stepping you, so that you know that if you were on last week and we talked about making decisions, you, everything that you do, you have to make a decision. You made a decision. I got to get on the radio today because I want to hear what Dr. Bessie's got to say, what the Lord is going to say through her. I've got to get on the radio. You made a decision. You're on the radio. Everything. I want to get a glass of water. Everything is making a decision. You got to go to the bathroom. Make a decision. You can either go to the bathroom or you can stay there and use the bathroom where you're standing. Come on. I'm just being a little graphic, but think about it. Everything has to come from making a decision. The experience that you get depends on the decisions that you make. So with that, that's going to take us to today when we're talking about how to reset your mind. And it's so easy, you know. I was, as usual, as I'm writing down some notes and thinking, because I was laying in the bed and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, what are we talking about today? And I'll lay there and wait, and it amazes me. I love it. And you start talking about, well, you know, you're talking about renewing the mind. This is what you're doing. This is the key. And then I said, well, now, what is it that you want to say? I mean, what is it that you feel that everybody needs to know that will make a dramatic difference in their life now? Well, I mean, I can't tell you exact words. I'm just trying to restate what we talked about. And after a few minutes, it says, resetting the mind. That's the one thing I would want them to know. If they knew how to reset their mind, a lot of things they would not experience. Got up and said, okay, this is a good one. So that brings us to our stimulating topic today, mothers and daughters resetting their minds. Now, that's the same thing if you're a man. Everything works the same. You know, and I just want to say this because sometimes when we go to church, the preacher will say the sons of God, the sons of God, the sons of God, David, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Thomas, you know, Daniel. You just go on and on and on, Solomon, you know, Joseph. It's just men, 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 the son of men. And we as women sit there and we assume it includes us too. So for the men that's out there, when we say mothers and daughters, you know, just do like we do. Just assume that we're talking to you too. Because we are. We all are one body of Christ. There's no difference. And sometimes the pastor will say, now when I say sons, that means, you know, women too, you know, because they know they need to clarify that because it's always stated as sons. And the reason I'm saying this, because sometimes, you know, I have some men that say to me, say, well, why is it always about mothers and daughters? I don't know. Ask God. We all have an assignment. And we all have different assignments. If he gave us all the assignment, he wouldn't get anything completed. We have different assignments. So this is my assignment. But it speaks volumes to each and every human, because as a human being, we all have a mother. There ain't no way getting into this earth realm without coming through a woman. So I'm through with that. When I think about the word reset, you know, when you say reset, just think about that word for a moment. It's interesting, but it's simple. To reset something is to take it back to the original state. Wouldn't you say? That to reset, it's like starting over again. I just want to start all over again. So that's, it's like a computer. It's to rearrange, reorganize, retune, arrange differently, or simply change it around. But I say it goes back to the original intent. Starting all over. And now most of you that have been with me over the years, and we're, you know, approaching our seventh year. Every Saturday morning, can you imagine the data that we have? And most of you have heard me say, whenever I repent, when I realize that I have stepped out of bounds, said something, done something, I'm going to God to repent. And when I go to God to repent, usually I say to God, okay, Lord, can we just start all over again? And I've been doing that. I'm a little child. Can we just start all over again? Can we just start all over again? And in my mind, I believe that we're starting all over again because I get that nudge saying yes. So this morning, it had a greater meaning, those words, for me. And I'm thinking, wow. It hit me every time I would ask God, can we start all over again? I was resetting my mind. I was resetting my mind back to the original end of God in that particular situation. Now, there you go. You see it? It's just that simple. It's like deleting files from a computer. Think about it like that. Sometimes in order for us to get the faith that we need in a certain area, we have to be able to psychologically connect some vision to the word in order to balance. And it's okay. It's like, you know, some people have to go to the doctor and get a pill in order to help elevate their faith. Nothing wrong with that. Whatever it takes to get you to hold on and to believe. Because beyond that pill is God. Nothing is that is not God. And once you understand that, no matter how you do it, it's still God. And that just brings to my mind, one time I was hearing Pastor Creflo Dollar was saying that he had a problem with his throat. And when he found out the news and they were saying that it was something that was going to, you know, mess with his vocal cords, you know, of course, immediately the human factor, the body went to talking, you know, like, oh, you ain't going to be able to do this. That's Satan really talking and pretending it's the body. Let's get that straight. You're not going to be able to preach, and what are you going to do? And this is going to destroy your preaching career, and you're not going to be anybody. I'm just ad-libbing here. And he got to the point he started researching it. He looking on the internet. He was looking. He was reading and buying books. He said he was doing everything. He was talking to God. God, how did I get to this point? He just going on and on and on and found himself on a gurney going into the operation room. And he said, God, why am I on this table? And I'm paraphrasing. And he said, God said, because you looked it up, and you got so consumed in what man say, but you going through, and I'm going to go through with you. You're going to be all right. But you didn't have to do it this way. See, we have to make a decision to stand and believe God. And he said from that point on, what a revelation for him, because he knew I could have just stood on the word. I could have stood on what I've been preaching, and I would not have gone through surgery. Because no matter where you go, it's God that's going to be there with you. There is no woman or man that can say or do without the hands of God. And I believe that with my heart and soul. And I always say, God, no matter what happened, I go to the doctor. They can tell me 10 different things. They can say whatever they want to say about my body. And this is coming from a child's perspective. I still have to come back to you. No one can adjust this. No one can heal this body but you. I have got to come back to you. So that all of my life, and I've been here for a couple of days, I went to get some cream or antibiotics for my face. And I didn't even know it. Just boom, one morning I woke up about 3 o'clock and my face looked like a leopard skin. And my eyes was bloodshot red. And then all of a sudden, you know, this panic came upon me. And I didn't want to call my daughter right then. And I didn't know what to do. I said, well, let me take a shower because I don't know. I might just pass out. You know, devil's just talking, just going. Intro conversation, going crazy. And all of my life, I bet you I probably had 5 or 6 pimples on my face. Very clear skin. Never a skin problem. And I woke up looking like a leopard. And then finally the Lord said, sit down. And I sat on my couch. And he said, no, you do the radio program in the morning. And if you have to go get the cream and the antibiotic, then go get it. Because I had made up my mind. I had made the decision. See, I got into a panic, didn't talk to God. I was just like, oh, I was talking to God, but I wasn't asking him, well, Lord, what should I just not just sit here, just let it stay, what, you know. I made the decision. I said, I need to go to the doctor and get an antibiotic and get some cream for my face. And once I made that decision, well, then God had to honor that. And he told me, he said, no, call your daughter and then go there. I went there. I don't know who this is for because this is not what I had on my paper here, but I'm going to keep going. Angie, I called Angie. She came. She got me. Got off the radio program, went straight down because I'd gotten dressed. I was dressed at 4 o'clock because I was afraid that something was going to happen to me. I didn't know what was going on. Got there, and the lady, she looked at me, and the intake people said to me, as they was getting the information, they said, when the last time you've been to the doctors? And I looked at it. I was kind of like embarrassed. And I said, well, maybe about a couple years ago. Not embarrassed, but, you know, for them, you know, they look at it. Because, see, the world has a standard. If you don't match that standard, they look at you differently. And she looked at me. She said, well, when the last time you've been to the hospital? And I looked at my daughter, and I said, when I had her. And my daughter had 2 kids. One graduated from high school, and one is 3 years in college. So you go do the math. And they looked at me. You haven't been to the hospital? I said, no. And my daughter said, Mama, I said, when did I go to the hospital? Do you remember coming to see me at the hospital? And it hit her. No. I said, no. It wasn't a doctor. It was a physician assistant. Oh, they were determined. They want to run blood. They want to do this. No, we're not doing that. I came for 2 things, the antibiotic and the cream. Can you give me that? So I guess, and I didn't tell her I was a doctor or anything. I wasn't going in on the, you know, I'm a doctor, blah, blah, blah. I never said that. I just said Bessie. So she wanted to do all, I said, that's not why I'm here. See, I knew because I made a decision. And I knew that was going to work for me because I made a decision. And God honored that because he said, go on and get it. You don't have to, but if that's where your faith is right now, go ahead and get it. I'll be in that antibiotic. I went and got it, and what happened? It cleared up because that's where my faith was at the time. But that was a situation, thank you, Father, just hit me to witness at this moment. I don't know who it's for, but it's for someone. My spirit just say, it was a situation for you to witness at this moment. So don't beat yourself up. Wherever you are, you can simply reset your mind. And I had to reset my mind, so I got to tell you the other part of it. The Spirit is saying, don't skip the part. The part was the lady came back in, and she looked at me. She turned her head sort of kind of clockwise, and she looked at me with a sad look on her face as I was sitting there. And she said to me, do you have anybody in your family have diabetes? I said, yes. She said, who? I said, my mother. She took a deep breath and she looked at me. She says, well, you might be in the family. I said, no, I'm not. She straightened her head up. She looked at me. I said, I am not. I came for the antibiotics and the cream. That's all I want to hear. Well, I just want to take some more blood. It just looked like your blood sugar was high. I said, because I've sat here and ate all these mints waiting on you for an hour. Sure it's high, but I am fine. I came for the antibiotic and the cream. And my daughter, she, you know, oh, Mama, you know what? You know, the lady said, well, if it's the most, if your blood sugar is high, we'll just give you one tablet. You take one tablet a day. I said, I'll take nothing. The antibiotic and the cream. That's what I came for. Can you give me that? So my daughter said, well, Mama, you know what? I think you should listen. I said, listen, you're either with me, you're going to stand with me with God, or you're not. Now, which one are you going to do? And that's my prayer part. I'm with you. But I understood her position because my mother had diabetes for years. My mother was on the kidney machine. She saw her grandmother go through these changes. She saw her grandmother lose her sight. She saw her grandmother go through one change after the other because of diabetes. But see, I don't believe in all of that. And I haven't from a child. So she came back, my daughter did, and said to me, here, I want to give you this. My dad had died, and he had this thing to test your blood, this little, look like a little machine or something like that, and you had to stick, and I'm not one to be sticking or doing all this. I don't like needles. But anyway, she was about to have a fit, and so just to ease her mind, I said, okay. So she took it, and I took it, and it was high, and then the next day I took it, and it was high, and the evening it was low, and at night it was high, and it was just all over the place. And finally I said, you know what, God? I'm going to go back to my original thought. This body you created, this body belongs to you. This body will experience what I decide, and I decide that what you designed me to be is who I am. I took that machine, wrapped it up, threw it in the back of the bottom of the cabinet in the bathroom, and said, no, I will not do that. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. There is nothing wrong with my body. And I stand on the fact that with his stripes, I am healed. I was healed then, I'm healed now, and I'm going to be healed until I leave here. And when I get where I'm going, I'm healed. So I said to him, if I go down, I'm going to go down in the name of Jesus. I put it away. So I was challenged. Oh, it just, you know, blurry vision, all kinds of stuff going on. And I'm just, no, I'm going to stand on the word. And I stood on the word. So finally God said to me, I said, Lord, why did that happen? He said, because he knows that your face is going to be seen all over the world. And his thing was, he knows that he wanted to break down your confidence. He wanted to break down the beauty. What happened? My face cleared up, it went away. I didn't even take all the antibiotics. Then he came back and he attacked my foot. And I think I told you guys a little bit about that. And all of a sudden I couldn't walk. And then God showed me pretty feet carry the gospel. And it's a constant battle. You're going to have to fight for your body. You're going to have to fight because when God has you assigned to go preach the gospel, the only way the devil knows that he can hold you up is to talk to your body and make your body think it has some kind of power and control over you. Now, whoever this is for. You need to understand that today is the day you need to reset your mind. You're going to reset it back to the original intent. You're going to delete everything that was added to this mind that was not sent when you were entered into this world. You were sent. As Cynthia said this morning, she didn't even know what I was going to talk about. But she said something about with the conscience. You came here with a device in you. Even as a three-month-old baby, you knew what you wanted and what you didn't want. You knew you didn't want to eat that vegetable. You tasted it. It didn't taste good. Even though you could not talk, there was something in you to say no. You made a decision. No, I don't want that. And your mother didn't know because she could not tell what you liked and didn't like. She bought what she thought you would like. So it was a tester. And when that baby spit out that pee, mother said, no, you got to eat your vegetables, because we were taught you got to have so much vegetables in you. Well, I don't like pee, but I can't talk to you verbally. So what? The baby made a decision, because the intro conversation is always working. From the moment you enter, when you cried out, you made a decision. You made a decision. I shall live. And life began. From that point on, you were making decisions. So how do we get back to the original intent? You got to delete. You got to gather up files. You got to say, these are cookies that I don't need. It's crowding my soul, my mind. It's more than I can handle. I can't get to the original intent until I delete some of the mess that I've taken on. And where did that mess come from? Sadly to say, a lot of times it comes from our parents. A lot of times parents will say to a child, you are nothing, you're just like your daddy, you're never going to be nothing. Those words create files. And you got files in there of low self-esteem, low self-worth, they are better than me. That's not the way you came here. That was not a part of your programming. That was files and data that was added into your database, into your soul when you entered the earth. And if you wasn't taught how to delete as a child, you can imagine if you have any number of years, there's 365 days in a year, time that times the number of years that you have been on this earth, time that times 86,400 seconds in a day. A lot of seconds, more than you probably can even pronounce. A lot of data. Every second you're taking in data. That's 86,400 different pictures, image, words. Now you can see. You can't delete all of that. Not from your human perspective. You've got to be renewed. You've got to go to God. It is through Jesus that all of this is deleted. So when you go to Jesus, you say, Lord, please forgive me for my sins. I repent. Sometimes we have certain sins on our mind that we think are so great. Lord, I did that, and you can't sleep at night. You know you done something wrong. Something that you don't want nobody to know. You're so ashamed of it. And the devil, that's what he uses. He wants that secret that you have, that one secret that is so deep that he knows that you're not going to tell it. And if you're not going to tell it, I'm going to use it. I'm going to beat you up with it. Because I know you're not going to tell it. No, you don't have to tell me that you go to God, but you got to go through Jesus. And the best way to do that is to repent, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you know what? Take your zip drive, download everything from your soul onto your spiritual zip drive, give it to Jesus, and say, I want this reset, Father, in the name of Jesus. I want everything deleted from me. I want to start all over again. Can we just start all over again? And he's always going to say yes. You ain't got to worry about him saying no. It's always a yes. Because he wants you to get back to the original intent. The world has its own design. That's why he says you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Being of the world is having your mind, which is your soul, to believe what the world says. He wants you to bring that disc in, download that information through Jesus, get a clean zip drive, and download the Word of God. What did God say about the situation? What did God say? You have to make a decision. You can't be lukewarm. You can't 1 minute say, God say this, and the next minute you live in your life according to the world. Yeah, one day I'm going to be here. Yeah, one day I ain't going to have all these bills on me. One day, you know, this going to happen. One day. That is not what he said. That's the world. What he said was, by his stripes you were healed. That's why I sent him. I sent him to teach you how it's done. I had them to write it down so you could read it. It is the only book, if you notice, that is like a brand new book every day. I don't care how many books are out there. You don't see anyone toting around that book like you see them toting around the Bible. He made sure that you could get your hands on it. He made sure somewhere along the line somebody would bring the word. That's what we do. We spread the gospel. Somebody somewhere. People think you got to go to the unreached communities around the world. That's good. But there's a lot of unreached communities here, and a lot of them is inside the church. They go, they hear the message, but they're not taught the word of God. Anytime you go to church and they don't say, pull your Bible out, and go to this, this is the word of the Lord, then you need to rethink that. Who are you listening to? And I'm not knocking anybody, but when it comes to standing, I'm going to stand for the word of God. Whatever God says, that's what I believe. I made that decision. So you can't just allow people to talk. You've got to go and see what the Lord says. And that brings me to what God used this morning. And that was Matthew 18, the 2nd through the 4th verse. See, when we become adults, there's certain things expected of us in the world. But as a child, you know, most people forgive a child. Oh, that's a child. She didn't know any better. And we're quick to forgive a child. Because we always say, they don't know. Well, guess what? We are a child when it comes to God. We are his children. He tells you that. He never said, you are my adults. Nowhere in the Bible you're going to find where he says, you are my adults. He's called you his children. And in the kingdom, children are quickly forgiven. So Matthew 18, 2 through 4, I'm reading from the International Version here. He said, this is what Jesus said. He called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, now, not even big children, little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And what does that mean? You've got to know, I'm a child of God. He's my father. My father loves me. When I make a mistake, my father already said, he forgive me. All I got to do is go to him, Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I repent for doing so and so and so, and I ask you to forgive me in the name of Jesus. Forgiven and forgotten quickly, because you come as a child. So therefore, whoever takes the lowly position, he said, of the child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See, An example is this. When you were a child and you made a mistake, and you knew you had done something that you just knew you were going to get a spanking for. You can't eat at the dinner table, food swelling up in your mouth. You're afraid your mother and our father knew, and you're sitting there and waiting on, I don't have siblings, so those who had siblings, I've heard them say, you know, they, if a sibling knew, they just let you just stew at the table. You can't hardly eat, you're sweating because you're just afraid that somebody's going to tell. In my case, I didn't have anybody. But I knew if I'd done something and somebody in the neighborhood know, or some of the other children, they always threatened me. Well, I'm going to tell Miss Pearl. So, you know, I don't know when it's going to drop. I eat, I go to bed, whew, can't rest, get up the next day. Mother, what's wrong? Nothing. Go to school with the burden, come home, and finally make up my mind, you know what, I'm just going to tell her. I'm going to take my chance. I might get a spanking, but I'm going to tell her. Because what? The pressure. You're being trained how to be fearful. And then I'd go to Mother and say, Mother, all lips all dropped and, you know, got my deep, sad face on. And my mother said, what is wrong with you? Mother, I'm going to tell you something. And now when I tell you, I don't want you to get angry with me. See, I'm trying to set the stage. And then I would begin, Mother said, tell me what's going on. And then I would tell her. And she looked at me. She says, you know, I knew that all along. I was just going to see how long it was going to take you to tell me. Boy, it's just like fear leaves. You feel better. You're breathing different. And you said, and I would say, Mother, you knew all the time. Yes, I did. I was just going to see how long it was going to take you to tell me. So all of those sleepless nights was because you just didn't want to tell the truth. But since you came to me and told me the truth, I'm not going to spank you. And then we'd have to talk. And I'm thinking, you know what? I spent all those sleepless nights in fear. At the time, I didn't realize that was the enemy setting me up for training. And my mother said, what? I'm not even going to spank you. And 9 times out of 10, I was wrong. But, you know, I was always defending myself. It was always something. Being an only child, that's a whole nother story. But I'm saying all that to say this. The thing that you're holding on to, you're thinking God is not going to forgive you. He already knows. There's nothing that you've done or said. He knows what's in your heart. You're in a glass house as far as God is concerned. He sees everything that you do, everything that he hears, everything you say. He even knows what the intent of your thought. That's why he judges you by your heart. But sometimes things come out of your mouth or you'll think something, but your heart has a different intent. I said all of that to say what? Until you become like a child, it's going to be hard to get into heaven because he wants you to come. He wants you to lay down the burden. He wants you to submit yourself and reset your mind. And don't think about it. Don't try to justify how good you are, how good you're not, what you did, what you done. Just take it all because you already know. Just be like the child and use the slogan that Nike has, and that is just do it. That's my take on it. If you want to add a comment, click 1 and be glad to hear you. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia. I don't know if she's there or not. She can hear me.
I'm here, Dr. Fletcher. Hello, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I was waiting on you to do a comment. Do you have a comment?
I almost fell off the chair when you said it's like a computer. I had already started typing the newsletter for the blog for our website, and I use exactly that analogy. I always say that God always has us on the same page, and I'm just going to share a couple of things from this excerpt from what I've written. And it talks about when you think about resetting your mind, think about a computer. A reset is almost akin to restarting your computer. Though it is also clear some what's called kashif, which is a name for a file that's on your computer, a collection of items of the same type stored in a hidden or inaccessible place. It is those dark secrets / life events, negative emotions that we don't want to access or share out of hurt, disappointment, shame, and or guilt. But the problem with secrets is that it is our secrets that keep us sick, and therefore we are only as sick as our secrets. So the importance of us renewing our restarting our mind has to do with that very concept. We have to get rid of the secrets, those files that no longer serves us. Clear out your computer. Clear out your computer so you can renew your mind according to what God says and not what has happened to you or what someone has told you and the thoughts that Satan continues to put in your mind. You can't stop him from putting thoughts in your mind. There's a saying that says you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you certainly can stop it from nesting. And that's that renewing your mind constantly, resetting your mind constantly. Thank you for allowing me to share.
You're welcome. All right. Well, you know, that's the essence of psychology. Basically, what we do is that we have something to relate to that people can see and feel, touch. And most people know about the computer. Even your phone is built to use as your computer these days. So when you say that, it automatically gives them a tangible vision of what can be visualized enough that they can say, okay, I can relate to that. Okay, I see what they're saying. So they're saying the mind is like the computer. All right, I can get that. And with the age that we're dealing with today, we have to communicate with them in the arena where they are so they can connect and give them the reason to go back and look at the Word of God and give them something that ties it back to, because we can't do training the way that we used to do when we were children and expect the children today to understand that because of the time lapse, the time difference. So renewing the mind is that parents, we have to renew our mind. Mother especially, not that you're going to do it the world's way. You've got to do it the God's way. And God's word is always renewing. See, you're thinking, well, back in the day when the Old Testament, when they wrote the New Testament, that was years ago. No, God's word is forever renewing. It will always update itself. It will always update it in a revelational form so that you can get it, mother, to deliver it to your child in the language. That's why he said, unless we be like a child, then we're going to think that we're going to overthink something. That's mainly where we find our problems. We try to overthink. Don't overthink it. Just go to God. Go through Jesus. Go to God. Ask the question. It'll definitely show you the Bible verse, and it would definitely be inspirational today as it was yesterday. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. Have a great week. And as you go through the week, just start deleting. Start deleting. You can start right now where you are. God bless you. I love you.
And I'll see you next Saturday morning. You'll hear from me anyway. Bye-bye.